Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Good evening to you all. My name is Tamika Chambers, and welcome to Stop Child Abuse Now Scan Radio Talk Show. And it is sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, also known as NASCA. Again, my name is Tamika Chambers, your host for this evening, and my co-host, Penelope Dennis, is from Washington, and she's also Oregon's ambassador. Washington's ambassador, and I am Oregon's ambassador. And so we air this show 5 days a week. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays are our special guest evenings, and on Tuesday and Thursdays, we have it so you can call in and discuss childhood sexual abuse with a survivor professional. So tonight's guest, you guys, is Wayne Filowitz, and he's living in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and he's our special guest tonight, and he's going to talk about his experience with childhood trauma, as well as kind of take us on that journey from that experience, as well as talking about what he's doing today. But before we get in with our special guest, Wayne, I just want to remind you or inform you of NASCA's mission statement. We have a single purpose here at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse, trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with only two goals. The first goal is educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. It is still happening today, you guys. There's not a whole lot of discussion about it. And so we present facts showing childhood abuse to be a pandemic, a global pandemic that affects everyone. Number two, the second goal is offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of childhood abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And so I invite you to call and listen, participate. The number to get here to call us at SCAN is 1-646-595-2118. And let me say that, repeat that number again for you. Again, you can call in, you can just listen, you can participate by making a comment or even asking questions as Wayne discussed his childhood trauma with us or the abuse that he endured at 1-646-595-2118. And just to let you know, we do have a flexible format. We basically break it up into three sections, if you will. The first 15, 20 minutes, the special guest goes through their childhood experience, telling us what happened, discussing that with us, and then we invite our panel to come in and for about 10 minutes or so, just ask questions, talk about what we've heard. The second half hour, we then have our special guest to go into adolescence, young adulthood, and again, we bring our panel on. We try to bring them on. And the final segment is what we're talking to our special guest and telling us more about what he or she is doing now. So we have a lot of people that are here with us tonight, John, Annie, Bill, Carol. And so just before I bring Wayne on, I'm going to give you a little bit of information about him. Special guest is Wayne Filowitz, currently in Port St. Lucie, Florida. He's a returning member of the NASCA family, and he is one busy person. Wayne has been in the broadcast industry for the past 20 years, and he is a CEO, a realtor, a minister, a notary, landlord, and he has a business in chocolate. And so I'm going to go ahead and bring Wayne on, and he can give us a little bit more information about him, and then we can also start going into his childhood and learn more about Wayne. And so, Wayne, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here, Wayne. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Just another day in my life that has turned out to be a very good, promising life, not letting what transpired in my past define who I am.
Absolutely. Well said, well said. And I know that you're CEO of WRPB, and that there's a lot that's transpired. Even, I believe you said the last time we spoke to you was about 3 years ago. Is that right?
I would think it's at least 3 years. Yeah, because I'm up
right.
Port St. Lucie 3 years, and I was down in Delray last time. So it's between, I'm going to get maybe even more, right? 5 years? Yeah, it could be 5 years. It's been a while. And being part of the family of you guys, I'm never far away because I still get, I'm still on the crisis line and I still get calls, and I'm blessed to be
awesome.
Able to deal with other people who've been through what I've been through and help them through it. So connecting
Absolutely.
With you guys was a blessing for me.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here and willing to share your story and to inspire people. Just from the first line, like you said, you're not this, you've moved on and trying to live your life and so many things that you're doing right now. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we actually get into your discussion about your childhood? Is there anything else you'd like to add to what I shared with the audience?
No, I think you shared everything that I do, and I mean, and the reason I do it, and the reason that I think that if you're a survivor of sexual abuse like I was, success is the best revenge. And
yeah.
For me, it was like if I got stopped by something that was done to me when I was a child, not my fault, of course, and I let it affect my life, then he won. The abuser
Absolutely.
Wins. That's how the abuser
Absolutely.
Wins.
Absolutely. Good point. Well, as we discussed, we'll spend about 15 minutes or so with you talking first about your childhood, just kind of carrying us through that and what your childhood was like, what you experienced as far as your childhood, the experience, the abuse experience, and just kind of there. And then we will invite our panel again, John, Annie, Bill, and Carol. Bill is here with us tonight. And just kind of make comments or ask questions as appropriate. So I'm going to hand over, if you will, the mic to you. And if you could just take us on that journey as a child leading up to what had happened as a child. And we'll just start there. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Awesome. All right. So go ahead, if you will, start with your childhood and how things transpired, what happened as a child and how you felt. Just go ahead and it's your turn to share your story.
Okay, so I was brought up in a middle-class America family. I had a great mom, a great dad, and I was taught that family is family and there's nothing more important. And my mom had a brother who had polio, but he was very successful in life. And we would spend Saturdays with them, me, my brother, my mom. We would go there for breakfast on Saturdays, and then we'd either go to an auction, we'd go to the zoo, we'd go to the Penny Arcade, we'd go play miniature golf. It was a great way to live. And my uncle, again, had a nice amount of money, even with his handicap, and it was good. And I grew up, went to school like everybody else. I was 2 years younger than my brother, and I was hanging out with my brother's friends. And my mom didn't think that that was the way it should go. And my uncle, he was like, you know what? He bought a boat, and he said, you know, Wayne, why don't you come on the boat, you know, and bring your friends and whatever. And it, life was pretty simple and good. I mean, I was 10 and a half, 11 years old, driving a boat, going to Florida a couple of years later. And, you know, you get to that age as a boy, and hormones kick in. And I remember him saying to me, you know, you should stay over, and then he would talk about girls. And he was actually kind of priming me, and I guess that's what it would be, to kind of control me. And, you know, what I've learned over the years is that people like him, it's not about sex. It's actually about control. And I personally don't believe that you can heal a pedophile or a child molester. One reason is because most people think it's about sex, but it's really about control. And two is, I think you can heal a drug addict, an alcoholic. I just don't believe that anybody who's a child molester or a pedophile can be healed. And when you look at the the structure in the prison system, if you start at murderers, from there you go down to people who've stolen or hit their moms, and then you go to the very bottom in the prison system, which is the child molesters and the pedophiles. They are lower than murderers, as weird as that might sound to a lot of people. But for me, and listening to other people's stories, my story was, I hate to say it this way, was kind of a walk in the park. I was 11. I was driving a boat. I was going to Florida. I was out every Saturday night going to miniature golf, the Penny Arcade. My story was pretty easy. And I only learned that it was easy after kind of meeting Bill and getting involved with you guys and listening to other people's stories. Some stories are brutal. There's a young lady who wrote a book. And in her book, she talks about her story, which is horrific. And I was just trying to see if I had her book. I have her book. Nope, that's Firewalker. I can't think of the other one. I'm trying to think of the other one. But her story goes back to a grandparent and a parent and kids that were 1 year old and younger. For me, I was already a mature boy, kind of, sort of, okay? And it was kind of like I was manipulated into that situation. And as we all know, most things that are physical are pleasurable. And we don't know at that age what's right or wrong or how things are supposed to go. Remember, this goes back, I'm 64 now, so this goes back to a different time, a different day and age. You know, we weren't on our cell phones, okay? We weren't playing video games. We went out, we did a bunch of things, and I had the ability to go do things that others couldn't do. And I thought that was the way it should be. Hey, I'm doing this. He manipulated me into that situation. And I wasn't physically hurt. I mean, some of it wasn't a pleasure, but I wasn't physically abused, beaten type thing. And I just went along with it, and times were different. And what happened was I guess, not that my mom knew, but I guess she had a mother instinct that something was not right. And she said, you know, I don't want you to go with him. I want you to go and make your own friends. You need to stop hanging out with your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I look at that as not that she knew what was going on, but maybe somewhere it wasn't right. And you got to go back all those years, and sexual abuse to children was just swept under the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Very different right. today than it was back then. But again, with all the people say to me, oh, my God, I'm sorry. And they're upset with me when I say, well, don't be sorry because it was a blessing. And they don't understand why I say that. And the reason I say it is because it's going to happen. We're never going to be able to stop it. It happened to me, and I'm one of the few men that will talk about it. So I'm blessed to help others. So since it happened, I can't say, oh, I'm sorry, because that's not going to change it. So life is about what you do with the hand that you're dealt.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a good childhood. I can't say that I had a bad childhood. You know, we weren't wealthy. But I had the basics, and, you know, and then I, because of my uncle, I had more than the basics. I had stuff that most kids couldn't do back then. Who, what 11-year-old was flying to Florida? What 11-year-old was driving a boat?
Mm-hmm.
And conversations came up that you'll be dating girls, and this is what's going to happen. And he manipulated me and led me into the physical. And what I've learned over all these years since I came out with this is I don't need to talk about what happened, because when I was sexually abused as a kid, I don't have to go into detail because you already know. We're all adults. We know what happened. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to relive it that way is stupid for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I tell my story in front of groups many, many times, and I don't have, I just have to say that I was sexually abused. It's
mm-hmm.
not rocket science, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to go into detail of what happened? No, I really don't. But what you do need to know is that it's, I guess, I don't want to say sexual abuse is like a snowflake, but for me, mine was a manipulation, which was, here's a cookie, do what I tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, hey, do this or I'll beat you, do this or I'll kill you. I speak in front of groups. I have some people come over to me and say, Wayne, how do you talk about it? My cousin gave me cocaine when I was 8 and told me he'd kill my parents if I ever said anything. See, I didn't have any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not as bad as many, many, many other people deal with. And I, as bad as myself, I get, because it happened and I can't change it, there's some sort of pleasure about talking about it and knowing that it's helping other people. And the numbers, as I best know them, is 1 out of 6 boys before 18, 1 out of 4 girls, and that's reported. So I know that when I talk about it, I'm touching somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
mm-hmm.
has lived through it and maybe be scared to talk about it, and maybe it gets them to know that it wasn't their fault, okay, and that they don't have to live. I think if they feel they have to live with the shame. I didn't have that and never did have that. It wasn't because as a kid, you shouldn't be ashamed because you didn't do anything wrong. Okay? We're taught to respect our elders, that they know what's best for us. So if you're kind of manipulated or tricked into this, then you can't look at it as a child that you did anything wrong because you didn't. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of see it. And I'm blessed that my mom kind of felt something and told me, you need to find your own friends. And from there, it opens up a door to adolescence and, you know, being a young man. And what I learned from that experience and how it carried over into my teen years and my 20s.
Right.
But
and that's where I think it's a very important, and you captured, Wayne, not to interrupt you, but that's where we're at right now is we're going to go into your teens and your 20s. And I think we all would say we'd love to hear how that continued to transpire in your teens and 20s. But let's go ahead and stop there, if we will, about your childhood, because I want to get to the panel, and I believe you brought up some very good points about childhood, about it not having the shame, not being your fault as a child, and especially about the manipulation and how your mother, you did have a parent that stepped in. And so I'm going to go ahead and go to my co-host for this evening, if you will, and we're going to get to the panel as we discussed, Wayne, that they're going to either probably ask a question or make a comment, and we're going to allow them to do that. So I'd like to bring on Penelope, my co-host. Penelope, do you have question or a comment, if you will, for Wayne at this time?
Yeah, thank you, Tamika, and I do have a comment, and gosh, thank you. First of all, Wayne, I just wish to thank you so much for already shared so much about just not only, some of the details of what happened and informing us about what happened, but also some of your your thoughts about the attributes of a pedophile. And I really find that helpful, even though I'm consider myself in college, my healing journey and pretty knowledgeable. I always feel like I learn something every time I hear someone's story, and that certainly is resonating with me this evening. And specifically, my comment is about, you said pedophiles cannot be all about control. And that really resonated with me. And I never really thought about it in that context with my own abuser. I was molested by a family member. Just understanding the why can help us to move forward in our healing journey. And just the way that you, and your man, I think the way you articulate things to me, it was very impactful. So I wish to thank you for that, truly.
Very important to me to kind of give whatever direction I can, because, I mean, I've had family members who've had their kids molested, and one of them drove from New York, and he said, oh, my God, we spent $20,000 on psychologists, and I think, who cares? Unless you've been through it, you don't know. 90-plus percent of alcohol and drug therapists are recovering. If you didn't go through the experience, how do you have a clue? I don't care how much of a psychologist you are. Okay, the people that have gone through this, and honestly, I believe that we all go through it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
But we all go through it, and the outcome should always be the same, which is, you didn't do anything wrong. Don't let it define you, because if you do, then the abuser wins.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's how I see it. And I don't know that I'm right, or I have the only education I have is what I lived.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I think by sharing it and verbalizing it for me, that helps me, and that does make sense to me. And to me also, the control, because I don't want to go ahead here, but I read in your bio, we have family members. You mentioned your mom and possibly your mom being aware, even though she wasn't willing to admit it. I just feel now the family members that don't wish for the truth to come out, do not want to allow any validation over the truth of what we remember and what we're now speaking of. I think that control is carried on through the family members that protect the abuser. And so when you said control, I was actually able also, I associated that with, other members of the family that are supporting the perpetrator, the pedophile. And that I think just sometimes a simple reminder of that is helpful. You never know what's going on in someone's life at the time. And sometimes I think we need to go back to basic, not basic, but we need to hear those things and remember. It's easy to get, especially when it comes to family members, to sometimes lose sight of that. So very helpful.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Every one of my family members now understands what I went through and believes what I went through. I'm very close with my mom. I didn't talk to her for 18 months because she still spoke to him. So it took me that long to forgive her, okay? And it took her about that long to understand that this really did happen. You see, if I go the next step and talk about growing up, what I got was when this all stopped, I was very close with my uncle. We still, as a family, went away. I didn't say anything. I let it go. We went away, went on vacations together, the family. I went away. The sexual abuse stopped, but I still had him over for the holidays. Everything was status quo, and I let it go. And I didn't understand. I have a brother, okay, and when the family got together, my uncle would always go, "Oh, Wayne's such a liar. Wayne's a liar." I didn't understand why he would always say that, but he was prepping for when I came out and spoke about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about the whole scenario is that a single man, handicapped, was foster father of the year in New Jersey at least 2 years. Okay, he was able to foster. He even adopted a kid. And the ironic thing about when Bill got in touch with me, or I connected with him, and I came on the first time, my cousin, who I hadn't spoken to in forever, called me and said he tried to molest me, but I didn't let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he said to me, it seems like everybody is on his side, not yours, and I wanted you to know. And my uncle's closest kid that he brought up from anything, who was super, super close with him, and when I came out with this, he called me and said, "Wayne, if it happened, it was a long time ago, let it go." And I hadn't spoken to him, and then recently he had 2 miniature strokes, and he called me, and he said, "You know what? I think he molested me."
Mm-hmm.
Because trauma will make you think and bring that out.
Mm-hmm.
Today, my mom is 89. My wife and I are her caregiver, and she has a bit of dementia, and I can hear her yelling, "Ma, Ma, Dad, Dad, yeah, go away from me, get off of me."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will never know if anything happened, but I'm led to believe that she might have gone through it too, because now there's 8 years difference. My uncle's 8 years younger than her, so I don't know that it was him, because when it's in a family, it's in a family. And what I've learned over the years, and I think that people should understand this, is there's basically 8 parts to being molested as a child. You either become an alcoholic, a drug addict, gay, lesbian, promiscuous, cold, an abuser yourself, or you commit suicide. Those are the pieces that I've learned over the years about this. And I, growing up, because now we'll get into my upper teen years and my 20s, I was promiscuous.
Before we do, Wayne, I'm sorry. We want to get into that. Let me, if you will, just give a few more minutes to the panelists. And I just want to say one thing, too, before I go into John, is that everybody has a story, and everyone will tell their story differently. And just to let you know, you've brought up some really good points, some really good healing points for people, and not being ashamed, not being their fault. So even though, like you said, I have my way of telling my story. Everybody has a way, and there is no wrong way. Whatever way feels comfortable for you, and like you said, your intention is for it to help someone. So it doesn't have to be every single point brought out, but just enough, if you will, I believe that you're bringing out to really share some valuable information to help people. But let's go ahead and bring on John, and I do want to go down the line, and if you will, we'll pause right now for the teenage years. But John, if you will, if you have a comment or a question for Wayne, I'm going to bring your mic here. John, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Hi, John. Thank you so much for being here. So do you have a comment or a question for Wayne this
evening?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wayne, how you doing, man? This is John.
Good, how are you?
I'm from New Orleans. You know, we have a lot in common, really do. Things that happened to us, you know, I grew up with boats, too, and having that lifestyle. And I just want to tell you, man, your message tonight is very powerful, okay? Is that, you know, I know that there's other people listening out there. And when the message that you're sending out right now is that I know that there are, you know, people that want to call in, you know, they're ready to make that move and come forward. You know, that's the kind of message that you're sending everybody. And it's beautiful. It absolutely is, man. And I've been reading on your bio and everything else. And I just want to tell you how proud I am of you, first of all, because that's, you know, I do the same thing basically as you do. And, you know, you can't go wrong with being in the industry that you are and also getting that message out the way that you are. And I want you to keep that up, because the way that you present yourself is the true way that we need to keep fighting against this abuse of kids. And, you know, I sent you, you know, a friend request and everything. I'd like to get to know you a little better. So I've been doing this a long time. I'm a 45-year survivor, too, you know. So I just want to tell you how it was a pleasure to meet you. And I'm really, you know, seeing these people that you had interviewed through your life. That's pretty, pretty extensive, man. I'm proud of you. That's awesome.
I'm glad.
I just have one little question, and that's it. Is that I know it's been a while since you've been here with NASCA, okay?
Right.
And how has your life changed since the first time you were here and seeing what NASCA is doing and benefiting not only, you know, yourself, but us as survivors and our family, but the future compared to what it was even 3 years ago? What difference do you see in it, and how far have you came in that time?
I'm a little non-typical. It took me like 42 years to talk about my experience. And
mm-hmm.
I have been through a lot. I have been on my deathbed 3 times since I was on last,
yeah.
I think. Oh, it took me 52 years to talk about it. I'm sorry. but what's happening is being on the website and getting calls, I'm learning because I'm hearing different experiences from different people whose experiences
right.
are different from mine. And I'm learning from them to
yeah.
talk to other people who go through this, not in the way I did, in a much rougher and hard way.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so upset.
Totally
I can't remember the name
saying.
Of this book from this young
That's
lady
okay.
that is a friend of mine on Facebook. And her story is just, it's devastating
mm-hmm.
compared to mine. Okay?
Yeah. Well, you see, that's the whole point about this, is that you hit that right on the head, is that that is the platform. That's the area that you're touching on everybody right there by, you know, NASCA having this opportunity with you tonight. I mean, that's extensive in itself. Yeah.
I just, like I said, life goes on, times change. I have a daughter who's 33. She understands what I went through. It took years, of course, to talk about it. And the interesting thing is, it took me 52 years to talk about it, but others in my life already knew. My wife today knew, even before I came out with it, that there was an issue, and it was probably that. But my wife, she grew up bringing in a lot of foster kids who go through that.
Right.
what I mean? So she knew. And I have to tell you that, so this young lady's book is called Breaking the Chains. And if anybody's into this and really wants to hear a story that makes mine look like, I said, a walk in Disney, it's called Breaking the Chains. It's on Amazon. It is unbelievable reading. And backed up with news article, pictures of the news articles, and it adds mm-hmm. to the fact, I hate to say it this way, that compared to others, I'm blessed. And I think that it's so important to realize that you can't change it. That's the key to the whole scenario. Mm-hmm. You can't change it. If you change it, you'll just go deeper into it.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, you know what? You got to forgive. Okay. You got to forgive and maybe not forget. So my scenario of forgiveness would have been, let him tell my mother and my family what he did, and then I will never forget. But I would forgive him. But I know so many kids that he has brought up through the years that were prime candidates like me. And I'm sure that he molested them. When I was on the second time, I got a call from a young lady who I knew back in the day, and she loved my uncle. And she was much younger than him, and she thought she was going to marry him. And then he ended up molesting her, and the boy that he had a threesome with the three, okay? And she tried to speak it out and talk about it, but nobody wanted to believe her. Mm-hmm. And when I came out with it, I had said to her, do you want to pursue this? Because when I first came out with it, it was like, all right, you know what? He's not getting away with this. But he's in no position to do it anymore. And my job is not to stop him because he can't do anything anymore. My job is to help others right now,
mm-hmm,
as I see
mm-hmm.
it. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, thank you so much, Wayne, for sharing it. Thank you so much, John, for your question. Annie, if I could go ahead and bring you on now and give you a couple minutes, if you will, to either ask a question or make a comment. Annie, are you there?
I am, and thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Wayne.
Hello.
Living well is the best revenge. Yes, I love that. I win. And I wanted to say that the idea that I can't let incest, that was my problem, define me. I can't let it define me. I have to add anymore, because I lived for years 24 hours a day thinking about it, because I was running a program, and that was part of the program, and for years. And I think that's why I'm better now. I think I desensitized myself to it by talking about it daily. And then another thing I heard you say was that you can't change it. And, of course, you can't really change what happened in the past. But I'll tell you what I did. I wrote the story in fiction and got revenge. And I think that was very healing for me. So I just changed it in fantasy. That's all I have to share. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
You're 100% correct. First of all, talking about it is very cathartic. And speaking about it, it only matters, a part of it only matters when you speak about it to people that know that person, because then it takes it to a whole new level, because now none of my family talk to him. Okay, so he's going to die alone, and that's his karma. Not mine, that's his. And you know what? Whether you're religious or spiritual or whatever, everybody has to live with what they've done. And surely I haven't done anything perfect. I've done many things that aren't perfect. But I know that I try my best, and I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong, where he will still not, to today, he will not admit what happened, okay? And honestly, between you and I, it doesn't matter, because everybody knows that it did happen. So it's not like you can say anything you want. No, it didn't happen. Wayne's a liar. But everybody knows it happened, and everybody believes it happened. And because of that, I win.
And because of that, every cell, I would say every cell in your body knows it happened. And so the truth needs no confirmation. The truth is the truth. And you made a great point that he will have to live with what he's done. Bill, I'm going to go ahead and bring you in. If you have a comment or a question for our special guest, Wayne, tonight. Thank you, Bill, for being here tonight.
Well, my comment has to do with the fact that I know Wayne, as he's referred to a couple of times. I know him pretty well. You know, we got together in the early part of when NASCA was created. So he was an early guest, and he's been on about three times now. And I just think he's the cat's meow, you know. I think he's wonderful. And I want to do things like this, reach back and find people who we haven't been in contact with for a while and get their perspective on, you know, where they've come to since they were last with us. Now, when it's 4 or 5 years like Wayne, it's quite a, you know, it can be quite a distance or quite a lot of changes. Right, White Rain? So,
a lot of changes.
You know, I'm just delighted that you came back on, Wayne, and I thank you so much for telling me that you are still on the contact list getting phone numbers, I mean getting calls. That's really important. I mean, see, Wayne is on that list since it started, you know, maybe 8 years ago or something. And he's one of the oldest people on it. So the fact that you're getting phone calls still and that you're willing to take them is really a big deal, too. So God bless you, Wayne.
Thank you. You know.
Thank you, Bill.
I just want to say that if you in your life believe that everything happens for a reason, me connecting with Bill when I did was a blessing for me because it gave me an avenue to talk about what transpired with me and know that the people that I was talking to totally understood what I went through, totally knows that other people could say, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about, yeah, it's a lie, but the group knows what the facts are, and it's a blessing having a team, okay, that when I talk, no, understand because they've been through it. My story is not uncommon to everybody else, and when Bill started, you know, it was like we kind of connected, and in the interim of the last bunch of years, a lot has changed in my life. Bill was closer to me, and then he moved further again, but when I get to my adult life, you're going to see some of the things that I've gone through. And reasons that I believe that I got past a lot of it. But it's this group that was important in my healing.
Absolutely.
Besides the people that believed me family-wise, like my wife and my brother and my niece. They're my rock. But it's nice to know that here's a group of strangers that don't know me personally but want to know what I went through because they went through it too.
Absolutely. And we're gonna transition to that. I have Carol to bring on, and we're going to actually transition to you discussing just a small bit of a recap of your teenage to adult and really getting into, Wayne, what you're doing now and what has changed since we last spoke to you about 3 years ago. So, Carol, hi, Carol. Thank you so much for being here this evening. Do you have a comment or a question for Wayne at this point?
Actually, I just want to say one thing. I am so happy to have you back on the show, Wayne, okay? I found your name on the contact list, and I didn't realize it was like 5 years ago that you were on. Holy
Christmas. time and five.
You know, we have so many people that come on, and Bill is quite right. You know, we should go back, you know, in time, go back in time, and bring people back forth on, because whether they're from 2014 or whether they're from 2018, we've been around for a long time. I've been on this show for 11 years. I'm going on 12. I'm vice president. Bill, of course, is president. And we have to go backwards, too, and see how people have progressed. I like that. That's number one. Number two, you are so well-spoken today. Yes, you are, and you're doing all the right things. And I believe also the same way that you do. First of all, they cannot. Pedophiles cannot be changed, okay? They just simply can't. I had that conversation today with some guys who were over my house, and handed out a lot of NASCAR cards. But, you know, the point is this. We can't change ourselves, okay? And by that I mean we can't let it define. Yes, some people have had horrific, horrific experiences. That's true. I was one of them, but there are many of us, okay? But we don't take yardsticks, because trauma is trauma, okay? It doesn't matter if it happened one time or if it happened 150 times, okay? Like maybe you're a kid out on the street or whatever. You have the same kind of voice that I do. I think you were from New York, too.
Yep.
Put that. Yeah. But anyway, the point is, you know, no matter who went through what, the experiences that we've gone through, if we do the work, if we get help, we can heal. And we are productive people. We are good people. And you don't have to go around because you were abused as a child or I was abused as a child many times. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and abuse children. And I had the same thoughts about, you know, like with the prison system and so forth. And I don't think that they should be in protective custody because, quite frankly, look what they did. Everyone, and you're right, every single one, I used to work detention, every single one that did terrible things like that, they were like the maggots, if you will, of the prison system, because everyone has a niece and nephew. Huh? They don't talk enough about boys. It's getting better now, though. But everyone has, you know, children, nieces, nephews, whatever, and not one of those prisoners, I don't care what they were in there for, would want their children to go through what a lot of us have gone through, okay? So that's where they belong, and I'm looking for the day where we can teach everyone, you know, if you see something, say something, number one. Number two, if it's happening in your family, where so often it does happen in the family, Bill and I were talking about that the other night, he came out with a stat that blew my mind, that's a new stat, 60 to 63% of the time, I think you said, Bill, excuse me, it happens in your family, and that's horrific. So where do the kids turn? They're full of shame, they're full of blame, they're full of this, they're full of that, which is what you had said earlier too, Wayne, you know, a lot of times where they're afraid they won't be, you know, believed and all this other things. We have to break through all of those barriers. We have to get society to understand better where we come from and why it's so important to talk and to tell on that person, okay? Because, as I was saying today, first-time offenders have anywhere from 121 to 128 times that they have offended. Now, this means, okay, that it can be 5 times with one kid, 10 times another kid. You do the math, it doesn't matter. They're out there, they're doing it. And just because they only got caught one time does not mean that they only had one victim. So all the things that you were talking about with all the people in your family that this I call them monsters, all right, got a hold of, this is very, very much what happens. So you're bringing out a tremendous amount of information to people who are listening tonight who maybe never listened before, and you're enlightening them. And I thank you very much for you coming on this show. You're doing a fine job. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You know, first of all, I'm a talk show host because that's what my company does. And surely I could talk of a storm and sometimes not know what I'm talking about and sometimes ramble on. But that's just who I am. But
mm-hmm.
I love to talk about it because I know how important it is.
It's very
important. Thank you. Thank you, Carol VP, and thank you, Bill, the founder of NASCA. Wayne, we have time has definitely flown by with some very good information and insight from you as well as from our panel guests. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here tonight. Again, Bill, our, the founder of NASCA, and Carol, the VP of NASCA. So, Wayne, as you said, you started getting into your teenage years. And just for people that are just listening tonight, because I do want to get into what you're doing now, what were the pivotal moments for you in your adolescence, early adolescence, that really said, okay, I need to keep living my life and bringing you to the path that you are today? So if you will, kind of take us through your mindset during your teenage years into your adult years and how that transpired to what you are doing today and what has changed.
Okay, so my mindset was stupidity. I was taught to manipulate, and that's exactly what I did. It wasn't until I decided to talk about it that it was when I met my wife today that I really went through changes. I lived my life mm-hmm. not dealing with children, but dealing with women the way I was dealt with, manipulating them and what I wanted because that's what I knew. It's what I was taught. I lived a crazy life when it came to dating and stuff, but I don't drink. Maybe I was drunk 3 times. I've owned bars, but I don't drink. I've never tried even smoking pot. I never did any drugs. But when I decided to make something of myself, instead of going from one job to another, I was good at what I did. And I did real estate, and I still do real estate. But when I got to talk on the air, it gave me the ability to help others in more than just with the sexual abuse. But I've been through a lot, and I think the last time I came on, I had been through my lung illness, and seriously, on my deathbed. Back in 2018, I had a heart attack and triple bypass, made it through that. I believe I'm blessed that way. But I have the ability to talk to others and help them. A lot of people can't do that. I have a platform to do that. Right now, I have an independent TV station on the internet, and I still do a lot of videos. I've done stuff with Disney and Dollywood and Ford, and I've done stuff with everybody. I have an extensive YouTube channel, like WRPB Studios on YouTube, has a ton of videos, but I've done about 50,000 interviews over my time. And focus on me and my family. And when I get a call, I can deal with it because I have such a great support on the other side. That was the change in my life. The change in my life was actually my wife that I'm married to now was my biggest support in everything, okay? And God knows I can make her crazy. But I remember the first time I was going to talk about it, and I was speaking to Father Coutier, who was a priest that fell in love with a parishioner and got excommunicated, and Rabbi Shmuley, who's Madonna's rabbi, and me. This is who was speaking. They wanted to sell their books, and I wanted to talk about my experience. First time I ever spoke in front of a group on the drive down to Miami. My wife was like, all right, what are you going to say? And I said exactly what I was going to say, and then when I got up there, I said nothing that I said in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I speak, I ramble on, but I have learned I don't need to go into the details of what happened. I just need to let mm-hmm. you know that I was abused. For those out there who have been abused, if you hold it in, you're never going to go anywhere. You're going to be trapped in the prison that the abuser put you in. Okay, and you're never going to get out of it, and you're never going to heal. That's just how it is. You're letting that person, again, control you and define who you are. And you can't do that because most of the people I talk to are so much better than the person that they think they are because of what some ass did to them. And that's mm-hmm. where it needs to change. You're not going to change the abusers because they're going to abuse. So the ones that, like us, that get abused, we got to let them know. Doesn't define who you are. Doesn't define the success that you'll have. Doesn't define that your life that you live. Okay? All it defines is that you're a survivor, you're strong, and you have the ability to help others. That's really how this really needs to go. I'm blessed that I have a platform that I have. I'm blessed that you guys let me ramble away and talk about my situation, because if I'm helping others, that's great, but it's also very cathartic for me, and it helps me. And that's one of the blessings that you guys have.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's the mm-hmm. blessing that I have, being able to get on the air with you guys and talk.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned, Wayne, that you have a platform, what specifically do you do on your platform? Do you have certain days that you talk about trauma, or you give inspirational messages? How do you use your platform to help inspire others?
The base of my platform is inviting businesses to come on the air with me and talk about their businesses and help them with their businesses. I don't use my platform as often as I could to talk about what I have been through. But because everybody knows me, and when I go on Facebook, I will talk about that I'm a survivor of sexual abuse. I don't know if you guys know, I have a tattoo, which is a teal ribbon that says I'm a survivor, no shame. I'll post that picture up. I will let people know what I have been through. I have been trying desperately to get a group of people into the studio to talk about being a survivor of sexual abuse, but that's very, very difficult. Even here, there's groups that are sexual survivors, but the guys don't come out. You can't make a group because it's all women, and the guys don't want to come out. They think that people will look at them differently. It doesn't make any sense to me, okay? And if you're a parent, you're a fool because you have children, and you need to know, and they need to know what to look out for. And if it did happen, to know that you're okay. You'll be okay. You know what the story is. Don't let them control you. And that's how I see. And I don't have the answers. All I can do is be there, and I listen to people talk when they call me, and I tell them my experience. They tell me theirs, and we become friends. And I'm not a therapist, so I can't prescribe medicine, or I can't tell them to do that. I can just tell them what I do and what worked for me. I have, once again, been blessed. So you ask what happened in my life. My first wife just passed away a month ago. My second wife passed away back in 2005. Okay, so this one here, at this rate, she backs me 100%. It'll probably kill her dealing with me. But I'm blessed, and I'm blessed to have a group of you guys out there, and the world is blessed to have a group of you guys out there. So nobody can say there isn't an avenue. It's whether you decide to take that path or not. And if you decide not to take the path, then the abuser won.
Mm-hmm. And speaking about that path, that is so well put, is that you boil it down to it's our responsibility. For those that have been through it, it's a responsibility, and it's a choice that we make to decide what path we want to go down to. And you mentioned, and it's so great and so honest and authentic for you to mention that you felt that you were taught manipulation, and that is something that you did when you were dating, you know, mostly with women, as you said. Do you remember that morning, that day or morning, just for those that are listening, that have maybe taken on some of the things that they were taught? Like you said, it's about control, it's manipulation. Do you remember the day when you realized that you were using some of that manipulation that was taught to you? Do you remember the day when you realized that and when you said, no, I can't do that? Do you remember when that happened to you?
I remember the day that I was prepped to do what he wanted to do, and I remember the day that it ended, and like most, I let it go. Because like
right.
I said, I was very close with him. He came over for the holidays. And I'm just going to mention this part.
Okay.
What happened was, I'm Jewish, and I was very sick. And normally I did the holidays at my house. Well, I couldn't do them because I was sick. So we asked my uncle to do them. And he said, all right, but I don't want to cook. So I said I would cook and bring it to his house. It was a Jewish holidays. Well, 2 days before, he calls my mother, and he says he's not doing it. And my mother called me crying, and that was it. I called him. Mm-hmm. I called him every name in the book, some words I don't even know. And now I decided that I'm not going to die with this. And since it was the Jewish holiday, I told my brother when we were in temple because I wanted him to believe me. And it's very tough that first time telling your family if it's a family member. And understand, they're not stupid. These molesters are not stupid. I look back, and you ask me, and I remember him saying, every time the family's together, I remember him going, oh, that Wayne, he's a liar. You know, he's just lying. And I wasn't, but I didn't get it until I came out with it, and then he would tell the family, oh, really? You know Wayne, he's a liar. My whole life was about, oh, Wayne, he's a liar. And now it was just easy for him to say it again.
But
so,
when you, I guess what I was asking Wayne is that you said that you did some of the manipulation yourself. And when
okay.
you said for you, when was that enough for you that you would not continue that? That's, and thank you for sharing that about your childhood. That was definitely still an important piece. But I apologize for not making myself
okay.
clear. But for you.
When I was on my deathbed.
You say, I can't. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I was on my deathbed, mm-hmm. I realized I didn't want to, that it was wrong. And it's funny because I still say, well, manipulation is not bad if you're manipulating somebody in a good direction. But people say, you shouldn't call it manipulation. I help a lot of businesses, and I kind of push them down the path that's going to help their business. One of the good parts of what he taught me manipulating, if you use what you learn for other people's benefits, you're going to benefit. But it was that time that I decided to talk about it and realized
mm-hmm.
it wasn't right. And my wife today is always on my case to make sure that I don't fall back into that scenario again because I did
mm-hmm.
it for so many years. Okay? So she's always watching over me to make sure that the things I do for the right reasons. Look, I'm only human, and I've been through this, and I'm going to have, it doesn't totally go away. I'm going to have leftover effects. If you're an alcoholic, you've been an alcoholic for a long time, and then you're in recovery, your organs are still dealing with what you put them through.
Mm-hmm.
My mind still
mm-hmm.
deals with what I was put through. I don't care how people think of me when it comes to that I was a survivor of that. Because what I'll get is, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's not going to change anything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't really matter, okay? All that matters is moving forward, not reliving it, okay? And I tried to do a video piece called Breaking the Silence. And what I didn't understand was when I got to the part where I was discussing what he did or what we did, I couldn't get that out. And now I realize that I don't have to say
mm-hmm.
details.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what the details are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I will be the first to say I wasn't hit. I wasn't, for lack of a better, harshly abused. I was manipulated into a situation, and I went that direction because I didn't know any better, and I surely trusted the person, because that's what we do. We trust adults because that's how we're taught. But it's what bothers me more than anything is the fact that I waited too long to discuss it, because had I came out with it sooner, I probably could have helped a lot more people. And that's what bothers me more than anything, because I know some of the people that he abused, because they were part of his family, which is part of my family. One of the kids that he had, and I'm sure he abused him, left. He came from crap family and had nothing. And now he had a school, fancy clothes, he had everything, but my uncle wouldn't let him go meet friends when he got to that age, wouldn't let him go out with girls, so he left. Went back into his hood roots, okay, and ended up having a heroin overdose. Okay? The other kid, one of the other kids, I think is in jail, okay? They have a great life, but you need to grow. And if you don't grow, you're always going to be stuck. And he doesn't let you grow because it's control. That's what it is. It's a big game of control for him. In every aspect of life, over and above this, we call it, now we call it, he's a get-over, okay? He'll, and it's a game because he has enough money, but he'll go to a restaurant and figure out how he can get his meal for free. And he has more than enough money to pay for it. Okay, so he's a get-over and tries to control every situation. If he met someone at Disney who would let him get on the rides without waiting on line, and then you say, hey, I'm going to go, and you're a family member, you say, hey, I'm going to go to Disney, who's the guy that you spoke to? He won't tell you. He wants that guy for himself. He's going to control that guy, okay? And that's another pawn in his chess game.
But, right. And
really,
so
matters.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that you do such a great job in pointing out control, and I think that in itself helps people to see that you're not to blame, that it's not something that should be ashamed of. Someone used something to get to your vulnerability as a child. And we, of course, like you had mentioned before, we're supposed to respect our elders. We're supposed to do, you know, do the things, trust, et cetera. And I think you that's the reason why you're on tonight. Part of that is to hopefully help people see that are going through this that it's not your fault, that there are things that are done in place. And so I want to get to the panel at least one last, and then, of course, you share, Wayne, some parting words on what you're doing and how you continue to move forward with your life and with your platform. Penelope, I'm going to bring you back on. Do you have any comments or any questions at this point for Wayne right now?
Wayne, this is completely a little bit off topic because it came up at the very beginning. But first and foremost, I just want to thank you for everything you shared, because I've learned a lot tonight, and a lot's resonated with me as well. There's a lot of parallels in your stories. So my question is, I'm just very curious about your chocolate business.
Actually, my wife is a chocolatier, and we've dealt with candy, with chocolates and cookies and caramel to Desi Arnaz Jr., Chris Everett's had it. I've always, because I deal with a lot of celebrities, we give them chocolate because chocolate is a drug, and they always want more. But come the new year, we're about to open up the company to the public. We'll have a website. It's called Luscious Kiss. We changed the name to An Accidental Chocolatier, and we're having the website built. It's very hard to ship chocolate out of Florida, especially in the summer. So we added the cookies and the caramel and the popcorn. So, but look, the busier I get, the less trouble I get in.
That's true. That's just, now you might know
my
numbing, drug of choices, which is chocolate. So that sounds amazing. And we're going to be in Florida over the holidays, so I'll have to see if we're anywhere nearby. But anyway,
Florida.
We're starting up in actually Dustin, and then we're heading down to Sarasota, and then around our senior in high school. We're going to be looking at some colleges as well.
Okay, so you're going to be on the west side. We're on the east side.
Yeah.
And
it's a big state.
Yeah, it's a big state. Yeah, when you get into Florida, you see the sign, welcome to Florida, we still have 4 to 5 hours to get home when we go up north. So, yeah, it's a long state. But Pennsylvania is long the other way, east to west, a brutal ride. But you're right, I am from New York and New Jersey. Those were my areas. And I don't know, you know, I believe that Florida has no statute of limitations for sexual abuse. I know New York did. I don't know that Florida does. But I think that I would be wasting my time moving forward with him and not moving forward with my own life, okay?
Mm.
Life is more important, and the things I get to do, I'm blessed. And I have a life. I have a family. Again, we took my mom out of assisted living and moved her in with us, so we're her caregivers. I have a full plate. Why would I waste my time at this point with somebody who's so slimy, but he can't do what he did? Those days for him are totally over. He does not have the ability anymore because he's old, and he was already handicapped, and now he can barely walk or move. So, and the coolest thing about this whole scenario is he was always worried about his mortality, and now it bothers him because he knows that what he did is going to put him in hell, if you believe that, if you believe in those things. And he's worried about that, and he's tried to go, you know, we were brought up Jewish, he goes to church, he tries anything now, and honestly, the only thing, in my opinion, that could work for him is to admit what he did, but he won't.
To admit the truth.
And it doesn't matter. The truth. Life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Penelope, for bringing
you
up the chocolate. For my mouth is watering now. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you, Wayne.
Do you have more?
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, good. Thank you, Penelope. All right, John, we're going to go ahead and bring you on. If you have a comment or a question, if we can kind of, I hate to do this, but limit it to about a couple of minutes so that Wayne can share some final words and either what he's doing, et cetera. So we're going to bring you on, John. John, are you there?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Great, okay. great. Yes, that would be very, very quick. You know, Wayne, I just want to let you know that I'm very impressed, man, with how far you've come and what your path has been, man. You know, it's exactly what I do, too, you know. And I think if we can get one person, you know, just to come forward or help save a life one day, you know, and it doesn't matter. That's what makes my fuel go, you know. And the other thing is that you are absolutely right about the control situation, you know. It's so much about that. It's every case that I know of, you know, and I'm glad that you're bringing that up because it's very important that people realize that those are the signs, you know, and every time that we end the show and, you know, I host, you know, with Penelope a lot too. And she always says, if you see something, say something, you know, obviously there's got to be patterns, you know, so we need to educate people, recognize things, you know, and that was just the perfect scenario of you painting a picture of what can be, how it really is, you know, because we've all lived through this and we see it. We look more than other people. But I think at the same time, you know, we have to educate people just for awareness, okay? But thank you so much, Wayne. It's really been a pleasure, man.
My wife says that you guys should stop saying nice things about me because I'm getting a swell head.
She can see.
Right.
No, man. And also, too, man, I just want to tell you that I love you, brother. How about that?
Thank you.
You know, I haven't known you until tonight, but I have no problem telling you that I love you like a brother, and I really, really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much, John. We appreciate that. Annie, I'm going to go ahead and bring you on. If you have a comment or question that you would like to ask Wayne, as we are in our final segment, if you will, final hour of the show. Go ahead, Annie.
Thank you, Wayne. I just wanted to comment on something that you said when you said you wanted to go into the temple when you told your brother so that he would believe you. And I just thought that was brilliant. And there are some people I wish I had taken into a church or something because they didn't believe me.
Yep.
So I just think that's brilliant. Thank you for sharing that. And that's all. Bye.
The idea of life for me is always think ahead. So real quick, when we took my mom out of assisted living and the last year we dealt with COVID, the only people allowed in a COVID unit is doctors, nurses, and clergy. And that is the reason I became a minister, so that my mom would not have to be in COVID alone and thinking her family left her.
So wow, that's awesome. It's always about thinking
a new plan, because I didn't want to become a doctor. Well, not that I didn't want to become one. I don't think I'd be able to. And a nurse was much too hard work, and they're too much of angels. So I had to go with minister. It was my best choice.
Well, I appreciate that, Wayne, you saying that nurses are ministers. I've been a nurse in the nursing profession for over 20 years. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. I did want to make one brief comment before I bring Bill on. One of the things that you said about how it takes time for things, your body to heal, for things that have been in your body. And coming from a health professional background, that's so important for people to realize that, because a lot of time, often we want our healing to occur immediately. We want the pain to go away. We look for external things to help us with the pain, whether it be, you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be. But know that healing is a process. Just like healing a wound, you know, if you've cut yourself, that it takes time. And it's a process that we have to heal from the inside out. And it looks like that's what your journey has definitely, you know, encouraged you to do, your mental mindset, in that it's happened. I need to move on. I need to move forward. Let's go ahead and bring Bill, the founder of NASCA, back on. Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill. Do you have a comment or question again for Wayne?
I just have a big thank you. You know, he and I had plans to get together in Florida when I was in Florida, and it just didn't work out. But I was hoping that we would be able to do a little work together, you know, because I'm in the same field. I was in the same field. But anyway, that's the way life works. And now I'm back in California, and, you know, but he's still a phone call away. I should remember that. Huh, Wayne?
Yeah, a lot has happened then.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes life gets in the way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But not enough in a way to stop you from coming on the show. When we asked you to come on, you instantly said yes, you know. It wasn't any hesitation. So that's an indication of how important the show is to you, and it would be for other people. You know, you mentioned earlier that one of the benefits was, you know, you found that you could tell your story because you were amongst a group of people who were not going to judge you, because they'd all been in the same place, and they were going to support you, as a matter of fact. And that is the difference between, you know, trauma and recovery, because trauma, you know, if you're holding on to your secrets, you really can't recover. If you're letting go of your secrets, especially among people who know something about it too, like fellow survivors, you will work your way through that, and it'll get better and a little better and a little better. It doesn't get better all the time, as you said, but golly, it was terrific listening to you, hearing your voice again, Wayne, and I really appreciate you coming on for us.
Thank you. My wife is upset with you guys for talking nice about me.
Thank you so much, Bill. And Carol, our VP here.
Yeah.
Carol, do you have another comment or question?
I don't have a comment or a question. Well, actually, I do have a comment. First of all, it's not going to be 5 years before we have you on again, okay? I think you're wonderful. I think you have a very good way of expressing yourself and getting across to the people. And remember, everyone doesn't react the same, you know, when they are abused. I'm a rough, tough lady, and I've always been a rough, tough child. And so I didn't feel the shame and the blame and all that other stuff. I was just mad. Okay, so you have one guy at the end of the bar, and you had me at the other end of the bar. I don't know, you know, because I used to, that's what I did, you know, I drank, I'm an alcoholic, I haven't had a drink since 1981, thank you, honey, okay, yes, and, but I, you know, I had to pop pills and do things because to try to ease that pain. And then I took it all away. So, you see, it can be done. People can heal. And, no, we don't get over 100%. No, we don't. You know, I won't drink or drug or anything like that ever again. But, yeah, we still have some flashbacks from the past. But we also learn how to control that. There is hope. And I want to leave the show letting people know that no matter how bad your life was, you know, there is hope. You know, and you can heal, you know. And I just want to say something to you, Tamika. I've never been on a show with you before. You are an excellent host. Yes, you are. Yeah, I wrote that here on my phone here, my cell phone here, and I'm going to write it on because I always talk about the shows afterwards, most of the time anyway. So we had a wonderful show tonight, and thank you so much, Wayne. You're a wonderful guest, and please keep up the work that you're doing. Because people are listening, okay?
You guys that need to keep up the work that you're doing. I'm only one person in a group of great people that keep this work and keep this situation in front of people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And people are listening. I mean, look, I wrote my book way back in 2010. It went all the way over to Japan, for God's sake. Didn't know that was going to happen. But the point is, people are talking. People are listening. Now we've got to get them to become proactive. Okay.
I agree. Look, I've been trying to do
a
show about this for years, and I just can't get everybody together. My best shot was when Bill was here, but life got in the way and things had happened, and I couldn't do it. But, I came out with this, but it was Bill that put me on the path to really push to help others. And that's why when you guys called me and asked me to come on, it was like, yeah, that's a no-brainer. I'll be there anytime they need me.
Well, we're delighted. We're very delighted. And you're going to help a lot of people, absolutely. You already have helped a lot of people, okay, truly. So just keep your good work up. And let's hope society wakes up even more because I believe it's going to be we, the survivors, who are going to help make the difference. Okay, because who better to walk the walk, to talk the talk, because we already took that walk. So I speak to police officers, all different kinds of people. I'm sure you do, too. We all do. Those of us who do presentations when we can do presentations because of the COVID that's slowing things down, and I don't particularly like Zoom, but we'll do it when I have to. But the point is this, we're the ones that are going to make the difference. Because we have the most knowledge. Schooling is fine. I have that too. But the best knowledge is because we walk the walk.
I said it in the beginning.
Very good point.
A psychologist can't fix it or can't even help because they've never lived it.
Right. Well, most of them haven't. I mean, I have friends that have.
Well, I'm saying if you haven't lived it, you really don't have the answers because you don't have the experience.
That's
right. You could be an ear for somebody, but again, it goes back to all the people that help alcoholics or drug addicts are people who've lived it.
You
come to me and say, oh, you know what I've been doing? I have no clue because I never even tried smoking pot, so for me, I have zero.
I knew a lot of potheads.
Right.
They're still potheads.
Right.
That's all right, whatever.
It just not wasn't my thing. I was busy with other things that are wrong.
Well, and
you're
so
doing
thank
a fine
you so
job.
Much. Yes, you are. Thank you so much, Carol. We appreciate your insight regarding that. The healing is a process, and just to confirm that the story, Wayne, that you shared with us tonight, is very insightful, and I hope that the people that are listening really take some of those key concepts that you've shared about shame, about abuse, about healing, and about it not being their fault. We have about 5 minutes. May I ask, if you will, thanks so much again, Carol. May I ask you to, you had mentioned about getting a group of men together. That's one of the things that you have tried to do. If you will, in the last 4 minutes or so that we have of this, share what would you tell men that have been abused? What insight, what information would you share with them in helping them to heal and helping them to move forward?
Well, my key words have always been, if you let it define you, the abuser wins. It all sums up to that in my mind. The more you let it get to you, the more you let it define who you are, the more you let it control you, the more the abuser wins. So you should never forget it, but you shouldn't dwell on it, because it's not who you are at 20 or 30. It might have been who they tried to make you, but it's not who you are, okay? You were smarter because you went to school. You were better because you have a job. I spoke to people on the crisis line that had, God knows, better jobs than me, making more money than me, and they're miserable, okay? Mm-hmm. And by them being miserable because of this, they'll never go anywhere, because they're still under the thumb of their abuser. And it's not healthy, and it's not mentally good. And until you say to yourself, you know what, go control something else. You're not controlling me. You're not defining my life and the path I'm going to take. I'm going to succeed, because failure is not an option, and success is the best revenge. Two things that I live by, and God knows sometimes they're difficult, but I don't, between you and I don't think about the time that I went through my sexual abuse. It's totally out of my head, because I've had so many other key points of being on my deathbed and other things. I don't think about it, because the more I would think about it, he would be the winner, and I will never let him win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you had mentioned about a group. What if there, as far as men that are in Florida that hear you tonight and about your trying to have a group, how would they best contact you, Wayne?
They can go to the website, and my phone number is on the website, and they can call me. That's
awesome.
The best way to contact me. Or, I mean, you can go to WRPB and go to the Contact Us. WRPB.com, or you can, I mean, there's a million places. WRPBITV@yahoo.com is my email. But the easiest way, I think, is on your guys' website. Boom, I'm there. Just look up Wayne Filowitz. All my contact information is there. Give me a buzz. We'll see where you are. We'll see if we can connect. And technology is amazing. I'll never do Zoom, so don't even ask me. I don't buy into that. One.
Right.
Two is, if you're going to come in to do something with me, don't be wearing a mask, because I'm not going to interview anybody with a mask, because I can never understand anybody who's wearing a mask. So you need to be able to speak, and you need to be able to speak clear and concise, and that's just one of the laws in my studio. You can wear a mask in my studio, but when I'm interviewing you, you cannot wear it. I want people to hear what you have to say. I want it to be clear and concise. Otherwise, it's just wasting time. And wasting time is wasting money, and I'm not going to do that. I do a lot for a lot of people. But doing this would be a project that I would do if I could find the people, and I would underwrite the whole project, because it's something that I believe in.
Right. Well, you guys, you've heard Wayne. Wayne, thank you so much again for being here tonight and resharing your story and what you're doing and your attempts to definitely continue to move forward. For more information about Wayne, he mentioned the website that you can go to, and you can also find him, his information, at NASCA.org, NAASCA.org, as well as information on how to reach Bill if you want to share your story as Wayne did tonight or participate in any of the discussions. The number to scan is on our website at NASCA.org. So thank you so much. Just undoing the mics and telling everybody to definitely say thank you again, Wayne, for being here. We appreciate your honesty.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much again. Take care of you. Happy holidays to everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody.
I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was blue. You are forgotten.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.